The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement. Listeners, as always, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you with us. We are talking about a very, very interesting and very important subject today with our dear friend, Reggie Littlejohn. And Reggie, of course, is the founder of Women's Rights Without Frontier. You've heard her from many, many times on the program. She's been to here to Cleveland and helped us with our Bringing America Back to Life and educating people on all the things that go on in the world, really, to be quite honest with you, across the world, the things that disrespect and destroy human rights. Reggie launched Save a Girl campaign in China in 2012. She was named one of the top 10 people of 2013 by Inside the Vatican magazine, which is a great magazine. She received the National Pro-Life Recognition Award from Priests for Life in 2013 too. She received the Cardinal O'Connor Pro-Life Award from the Goddess. She's launched a Save the Woman campaign in China in 2017, co-founded Genocide Games Initiative to remove the 2022 Olympic Games away from Beijing. She co-founded the Stop Vaccine Passport Task Force and was on our program several times whilst that was all going on. She received the Women in Leadership Changing the World Award from Mission College. And LifeSat News has named her one of the heroes of 2021 and the people to watch in 2022. And here she is again, leading the world in helping us to understand the dangers that are coming at us from all different sides. She has co-founded Sovereignty Coalition, and that's what we're going to be talking about today with Reggie. Reggie, without further ado, thank you so much for joining us. You're such a busy lady. I love it when you're being able to come on our program.
Well, I love being on your program, Molly, and you are just as busy as I am fighting the good fight in Ohio. So,
yeah, well, you know what? When I saw what you were doing with regards to the World Health Organization, this is one of my, how can I say it? I'm allowed to say this about an organization. This is one of the things, the organizations that I hate the most in the world. I have to tell you that. I think it is such a dangerous, dangerous organization. We have no control over it. It just seems to be doing all kinds of things. It was one of the organizations that helped, the COVID vaccine to be pushed across the world. So many different, population control is coming through World Health Organization. All of these things are happening through the World Health Organization. But good news, good news, good news. And that is because Reggie Littlejohn just let us know that something wonderful has happened that we have not heard through the mainstream media, but it's happened anyway. Reggie, tell us what's going on with this, with the Sovereignty Coalition.
All right. So, yes, like you said, the World Health Organization is not a person, so we're free to hate the organization, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, I consider it to be like the militarized arm of the United Nations, and what they're doing is, I believe that through the United Nations, through the World Health Organization, through the World Bank, through the World Economic Forum, that there is a globalist agenda of trying to trap us in a digital gulag. And the way that they're pushing it out is through health, because when they hit people with a pathogen that they say is terribly dangerous and could kill you, then people are willing to give up their rights that they would not otherwise be willing to give up. So the World Health Organization has been pushing amendments to the international health regulations and a pandemic treaty. And between the two of those, these would establish a worldwide police, basically biotech surveillance police state. And so the pretext is, oh, we need to keep you all safe from this pathogen, so you need these vaccine passports. That's when I co-founded the Vaccine Passports Task Force. The vaccine passport can also be called the digital health ID or just any digital ID, and it's just rolling down. For example, I'm holding in my hand an article dated October 23rd, 2023 from Zero Hedge, and it says, Achtung, U.S. travel to Europe will require prior approval and biometric scanning. And starting in 2025, we're going to have facial and fingerprint scans to get into Europe. This is all just part of the vaccine passport. It's like we have to protect you. You know, if there's a pathogen, we need to know if everybody's vaccinated. We need to know who's where, and we need to do all kinds of tracking of travelers once they get into the country, et cetera, et cetera. And what it does is it gives, they know exactly, you know, what you look like, where you are, all your social media posts, all your internet search history, your internet spending history, your medical history, your criminal history, everything about you. And if they don't like you, they can cut you off from your finances, like what happened to the Canadian truckers, or just disappear you, which is what happens to Chinese dissidents. And all these things are going to be interoperable internationally. I mean, it's just starting with Europe, but the World Health Organization has said that they are pushing this out, this system that is starting in Europe, pushing it out internationally. And it all has to be interoperable, which means it's going to be interoperable with China. And the Chinese Communist Party is ultimately, Chinese Communist Party is ultimately going to be getting our data. So the only way to stop this is to withdraw from or defund the World Health Organization and also the United Nations. That's another separate subject, but we can talk about it today. And so that idea of defunding or withdrawing from the World Health Organization was just like a dream. There were a couple of bills in Congress about it, but they didn't go anywhere. They were just languishing in committee. This is about 8 months ago when I co-founded the Sovereignty Coalition. So we did an email campaign and got several hundred thousand emails to go to congressional representatives saying we need to withdraw from, or at least defund the WHO. And within 2 weeks, we had a congressional press conference on Capitol Hill at which 18 congressional members spoke. And I was one of the two co-founders of the Sovereignty Coalition. We got to speak. So all saying we need to defund and withdraw from the WHO, you know, and some of them said it's basically an arm of the Chinese Communist Party. All right. So that was beyond our wildest dreams that would happen. Then we found out, like a month or two later, that a couple of members who I think they actually spoke at that press conference, but if not, they were certainly part of the coalition that was against the WHO. They were on a subcommittee, the Foreign Operations Subcommittee of the Appropriations Committee, and they passed a bill to defund the WHO, which we just thought was unbelievable.
This is a God thing. This is definitely
it's a God thing. It's like, you know, if God is with us, who can be against
us? Absolutely.
So because we're just little. I mean, we have like no funding, but what we have is we have the truth. Okay. Yeah. So we put out another call to action for a campaign, and some of your listeners may have even participated in this, where we asked people to email their congressional representatives, call their congressional representatives to tell the entire Appropriations Committee. See, this passed through one subcommittee of the Appropriations Committee. We wanted it to pass through the entire Appropriations Committee. We issued a call to action, and we got, I think it was about 350,000 emails sent to the Appropriations Committee, and I don't know how many hundreds of phone calls. Each member of the Appropriations Committee, as I recall, received approximately 5,500 emails overnight.
Wow.
The night before the vote, and then they voted to defund the World Health Organization.
Oh my
goodness. Again, It was astonishing. But that's not all, Molly, because what happened after that is we said, okay, I mean, this is a miracle. We can't even believe that this is happening, but we need to have this pass through the entire House the entire House of Representatives. And on September 28th, no one's reporting on this. All right. You're not hearing this from the mainstream media, but on September 28th, the House approved an appropriations bill that defunded the World Health Organization.
Wow.
Number one. And number two, made it so no funding would go to any other international organization, such as the United Nations, unless it was approved by the legal instrument that was being funded was approved by the U.S. Senate. So that was another issue. So this is an enormous victory. We need to just say thank you to everybody who participated. Thank you to the brave congressmen who leaders were Mario Diaz-Balart and John Molinar, all right, who spearheaded this thing. And thanks to God. And it's not over yet, okay? So it still needs to pass through the Senate. It still needs to be signed by President Biden. But we still need to pause and say,
Thank you. This
is a victory.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I think the big thing here is God is giving us a glimpse. I really do feel this, Reggie. God's giving us a glimpse of what can be done when we are faithful. When we mm-hmm. do what we should be doing, when we support people, you know, organizations such as yours, when we take action for the glory of God, I think this is what happens. We see this. You're right. I mean, we've got a long way to go. We've got the Senate. We've got to get through the Senate. You've got to get it through, across President Biden's desk, which is probably going to be a complete miracle if that happens. But by the same token, it's started. It can't even go there until it starts to where you've started it. So this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. You have put on, this is how I came to find out about it, was you put out an email you've got a little bit of a blog thing going. Tell people where they can get all that detail, all this information, so that they can go there and look at it, get organized, make sure that they sign up for your emails, as well as take action as needed. And action also includes helping Reggie to be able to fund herself and her organization as she goes forward. So please think of all of this. Reggie, where do they go to get this?
Okay. So thank you so much, Molly. But my organization, where we have a donate button, is Women's Rights Without Frontiers.org. That's Women's Rights Without Frontiers.org. And you can sign up for my blog, and all of my action alerts, all the news go out through that blog. So you can definitely sign up for all of that. So, and then the website for this particular action is the SovereigntyCoalition.org.
Perfect.
But if you want to get regular updates, sign up for my blog on Women's Rights Without Frontiers.org, and you will get updates about what's going on and how you can take action and how you can support us also, because we need support. I mean, we're up against,
the
World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, it's definitely a David and Goliath situation, to say the least.
Absolutely. You know, but I've seen over the years that I've been doing, all the work that I've been doing, but I see how, one little small David can take on a Goliath if you're doing it for the right reasons and with the grace of God and the Holy Spirit. I mean, I think, I've watched Michael Hitchborn do the same thing. At our convention, we had Austin Roos came in and spoke about, their efforts at the UN. And it's like these little tiny bands of groups of little tiny people type of thing. Not big names, nothing. It's just, they say, no, enough is enough. We're done. And amazing things happened when we trust in God. And that's what I think, Reggie Littlejohn has certainly done, and Women's Rights Without Frontiers has definitely done. I mean, the things that you have been able to achieve are just absolutely phenomenal. So God bless you, Reggie, for all you're doing. What next? What next? What happens next?
Well, okay. So another thing that we're looking at is the United Nations, okay? So United Nations and the World Health Organization met together in September and sort of passed a declaration. What they were trying to do is they were trying to get a consensus to pass a declaration basically implementing all of the international health regulations, the pandemic treaty, that would do all the terrible things that I was just telling you about. right? And six or seven or maybe eight countries intervened and said no. But so they were unable to sort of try to do this quietly. They were actually doing it by the silence procedure. So what happened is the president of the United Nations General Assembly said that he passed it. He approved it. And then they made this big announcement about how there was a consensus or that all these nations were behind it. I mean, they're just so manipulative, and they really know how to do spin control when they actually were not able to pass it through the United Nations General Assembly. But another thing that came up at that meeting is they have this new document, or actually it's not that new now. It's in March of 2023. Called Strengthening International Response to Complex Global Shocks and Emergency Platform. And what this is the United Nations attempted power grab, similar to the World Health Organization. So the World Health Organization wants to use health as sort of the pretext for their global power grab. And the United Nations wants to use what they call complex global shocks. So anything that is a complex global shock, they want an emergency platform that will operationalize automatically. So they want the world, all of our governments to approve that when something that they consider to be an emergency shock happens, their platform will operationalize automatically. And
override your own country's platform? I mean,
well, yeah. I mean,
goodness.
So the idea, Molly, is our countries would approve this plan of an emergency platform in the case of a complex global shock. So that's the approval. Okay. They already have it because we said yes. And then they get to decide whatever is a complex global shock. And then this platform will operationalize automatically. So let me tell you what the complex global shocks are. I've got a chart here on page 6 of this document. A major climatic event. So in other words, climate change. All right, would be a complex global shock. Now, future pandemic risks. Okay, future pandemic risks is a global shock.
Wow.
How's that a global shock? I mean, it's like, oh, we have a future pandemic risk.
Yeah.
That's a global shock, so we're just going to operationalize this.
But it hasn't happened yet, but it might happen, so we're going to do it. That's basically what they're saying.
That is sufficiently shocking for them to start their power grab. But listen to this. Cyberspace or global digital connectivity disruption. In other words, if the internet goes down, that's a complex global shock that would operationalize. And here's another one, a major event in outer space. So they don't have, it's not just the world, it's the solar system, or, you know, who knows, two galaxies collide and, you know,
and that's a global shock.
Light years away. And then the last one they have is an unforeseen black swan event. So in other words, if they haven't thought of it, but they want to use it as a global shock.
Like a bunch of kids sitting in the playground, making up, things, just making up things. This is ridiculous. Now, please tell me that we did not approve any of this.
Well, yeah. Okay.
So Lord. Dear Jesus, help us. Honestly, I mean, it is a prayer. Yeah.
It's a draft policy brief. It's called Our Common Agenda, which is something that they've written a bunch of policy briefs under Our Common Agenda. You know, the common agenda is globalism. And so what it is that I'll read you what he says. He says, I propose that the General Assembly provide the Secretary General and the United Nations system with standing authority to convene and operationalize automatically an emergency platform in the event of a future complex global shock of sufficient scale, severity, and reach. So this platform will involve surveillance, censorship, the digital block. I mean, so the surveillance would be, we have to, number one, surveil whatever's going on with the global shock. So whatever that is, we need to be able to, you know, the United Nations wants to be able to surveil what's going on with the global shock, but also surveilling people's response to it. So that, you know, if the global shock has to do with a future pandemic, you know, risk, then are you, vaccinated now? And have you signed up for your digital ID? Do we have your fingerprints and your iris scan, et cetera? you know, so that they have to have all this in place so that in the future, if they declare a global shock and you disagree with it and aren't acting in accordance with them, they will know who you are,
exactly,
where you live,
exactly,
and be able to find
you. And
you
know what, Reggie, we saw this being played out and tested during the COVID. And folks, don't think I'm wearing a tin hat. I'm not. Because we saw it right here in our little town here in Northeast Ohio. We saw what was happening. Neighbors ratting on neighbors, you know, police arriving, you know, in the street to respond to a report that had been taken place, that people weren't keeping their distance enough. This is like little middle America where these things were happening. So they've already tested it as far as I'm concerned.
Neighbors will rat each other.
Absolutely.
And this is right out of the Chinese Communist Party playbook, because that's what they did under the one child policy, Molly. Remember?
Yep.
Like they had people spying on women so that a woman who was illegally pregnant, in other words, pregnant without a birth permit, could be ratted on by her family, her friends, her neighbors, her coworkers, or people who were hired to sit in the village square and just watch women's abdomens,
exactly,
as they walked by. And the purpose of that is, number one, to keep everybody in a state of terror, and number two, to break the natural bonds of trust in society, to atomize society, because if there's nobody you can trust, then you can't organize for democracy. And that's the same thing that's happening here.
Exactly. You know, Reggie, people, listeners, you may be thinking, what's all this got to do with the life issue and human rights? It's to do with it because it's a violation of our human rights. And so many of these programs are depopulation programs. They want to reduce the population, and they will do it by any means that's out there for them. This is absolutely outrageous. Let me ask you this. Do you see this actually taking place? How do we stop it?
Well, it will absolutely take place if we don't stop it.
Okay.
And so, you know, but it's also necessary for the United States to be a part of this in order for it to take place. I mean, if the United States the World Health Organization, the United Nations, they can continue. They don't need U.S. funding. We're not like a huge funder. We're a major funder, but the organizations will not, you know, close if we stop funding them. By the way, they're majorly funded by, especially the World Health Organization, by Bill and Melinda Gates and some of their other vaccine-related companies like CEPI. So there's a lot of private funding that goes into this, but if we were to withdraw from the World Health Organization and to refuse,
of America. Yep.
And if they lose control of America, then that's going to really throw a wrench in the works.
Yep. But
we also need to be, allying with people in Europe to stop this travel biometric scanning and et cetera.
It's already happening. I mean, we've just come back from a holiday in Europe, and you go through the customs, and you have to put your finger, you know, you have to put your hand down, you have to walk through the machine where they can see your eyes. I mean, it's already happening. I mean, it's happening voluntarily, so you can volunteer to do that. But it's going to be that you can't get through unless you do it. So it's there. The systems are already in place. We need to say enough. Stop. Stop. I mean, I am just absolutely, you know, we've got children and grandchildren that are coming up and are going to have to live in this world. And I think that's the most serious thing that we've got to consider is what kind of world are we leaving our children?
Well, that's right. And so, but the story that I just told you about the Sovereignty Coalition and how people rose up together and sent emails and called the representatives, got the House to defund the World Health Organization. That needs to be repeated. Number one, with the Senate. Number two, with the Biden administration. Number three, with all candidates. You know,
yep, absolutely.
We need to, when a candidates come, any candidate, I don't care whether it's a local person, because also, Molly, another line of attack of all of this, or not attack, really, a line of defense is the states. And Ohio, for example, could say, you know what? we are not going to be enforcing all this stuff
exactly
Florida has done. So you know, every candidate on every level, from the local to the presidential, needs to be peppered with questions about what their position is on all of this stuff. Make it a major campaign issue.
Change happens from you. Each of us has the opportunity to change things for the better or for the worst. We change it for the worst if we don't participate. We change for the better if we do participate. So let's all participate. Again, Reggie, before we go, give everybody your email so they can start following this. This is amazing.
Okay. Go to womensrightswithoutfrontiers.org. Womensrightswithoutfrontiers.org. Sign up for our blog posts. Donate if you can. And then also follow me on Getter. I'm at Real Reggie Littlejohn, at Real Reggie Littlejohn on Getter.
Perfect. And I just went to your website and I clicked on your blog and it's all there. So everybody, we've got to participate in this. Make sure you take action. Don't just listen. Take action as well. God bless you lots, Reggie. We were praying for you. Keep it up. Thank you so much. All right. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. Don't go anywhere. I will be back with you right after this very short break with another world-class, inspiring guest.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.